While we were out west, we wandered into a few churches, mostly in mountain towns. And it was remarkable how so many of them were built with a particular view in mind. That there, so often at the very front of the sanctuary, was a large, wide, expansive window, almost as wide as the front wall. And it always framed a beautiful, magnificent mountain peak. Because, as the psalmist says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God. The firmament proclaims God's handiwork. That even though creation doesn't use words, it has something to say. That creation is the whisper of God's love. C.S. Lewis once said that Psalm 19 is the greatest poem in the entire Psalter. And in many ways, it is like a professor on the first day of class handing out the syllabus. That there we are, sitting in an auditorium surrounded by other students, glancing down the syllabus as fast as we can to see how much work the semester will be. And we notice there are only two textbooks in Psalm 19, creation and the Torah, or the first five books of the Old Testament. And thank goodness at least one of them is full of pictures. You know, less reading. And these two texts are trying to tell us what God has to say, that all of creation is connected through the love of God. Just outside of London, Epping Forest is about 6,000 acres of land that's been preserved for generations. And Dr. Merlin Sheldrake, a scientist, has been working there studying the relationship between fungus and plants. I know, riveting. He's looking at soil chemistry and plant nutrition. And apparently, fungus is not always a parasite of plants, that they can actually work together, creating connections amongst all the plants and the root systems. They call it the Wood Wide Web. I know. And this particular connection is some 450 million years old. So the World Wide Web still has some catching up to do. And it's through these connections that plants actually support one another, like sending out nutrients to each other. For example, a tree that is dying might send out its last bit of nutrients to the surrounding plants, helping a young seedling struggling to grow in the shade. That all of creation is connected. In reading scripture, though, we might miss these connections because of the assumptions that we make. Like when we read Mark chapter 8, and we hear Jesus say, "Let all those who want to follow me deny themselves and take up their cross." That in hearing those words, we might picture the disciples standing there by the lakeshore, hearing Jesus' invitation to follow and leaving their fishing nets behind. But when it says, "What will it profit to gain the whole world and yet forfeit our lives?" we might assume It is an either or choice, the world or our lives. As if Jesus's path leads us away from this world. And sometimes when we hear the Christian faith described, the undertones mean that we are to leave this world. But if we look at the life of Jesus carefully, he does not lead us away from this world. Rather, he leads us into it. That the ways of Jesus lead us to the needs of creation. Because creation is a gift of the love of God. That we carry light into darkness. We bring hope into despair. It is, as John Muir once wrote, who spent a lifetime in creation, and who said at the end of his life, "I simply went out to take a walk, and then I decided to stay until sundown because I discovered going out is actually going in." That going out into creation invites us into the love of God. And our response is one of gratitude. Because we do not just tend to creation, we are a part of it. Norman Wurzburg suggests that we do not say the word nature. Instead, we should use the word creation. Because when we say nature, that is something outside of us, plants and animals. But when we say creation, it reminds us God is the creator of us all. That we are a part of it. It is why Jesus invites us to take up a cross and follow him into the world, where the love of neighbor is also the love of creation. And as we care for others and for creation around us, that can look different from person to person. As Sally McFay says, it's like making a quilt where all of the squares are different. And the good news is, making a quilt does not require the same expertise as needlepoint or crocheting. That anyone at any age can bring a square to be added to the quilt. That each one comes together to create the whole. In the same way that we all care for creation together, which, as it turns out, is just another way of saying the love of neighbor. Whether that patch on the quilt is planting a garden, or reducing our waste, preserving land, or protecting resources, or just daily recycling, where the love of creation is the love of neighbor. We spent several days in Yellowstone National Park, sort of traveling around, seeing the mud volcanoes, the steam vents, the impressive geysers and the hot springs. And we learned about that caldera, the volcano that is underneath the ground in the middle of Yellowstone, where there's just a thin crust of ground separating it from the surface. It's what makes all those thermal features possible. It truly is a place of awe and wonder, reminding us that creation has something to say. After our time in Yellowstone, we drove to Bozeman, Montana, which was only about 90 miles above the north entrance to Yellowstone. So a couple weeks later, we went back to the park with a good friend, Bruce Gorley, who had just finished a book on the history of Yellowstone. And he took us back to that area where Old Faithful is located, that iconic picture that represents the entire park where so many people go and visit that geyser that is predictable like clockwork. But this time, he took us to a lesser known site, the Black Sand Pool, about half the size of a pool you'd see in somebody's backyard. And we walked past Old Faithful, where there were so many people gathered to see it go off. And we went down this long sidewalk with Old Faithful End on our left, that wonder of architecture. And we went a good ways out and then took a hard left turn on this dirt trail through the woods, where we found Black Sand Pool. There was nobody else around. It was just us. And then Bruce looked at us and said, "Okay, I want you to be really quiet for just a couple minutes and listen." We had no idea what we were listening for, but he said, "And you may want to lean into the fence post so you can feel it." So we got very quiet. And we leaned in. And then we heard it. And we felt it. It sounded like a knock at the front door when you're on the other side of the house. Or what the sound of a giant's footprint may sound like walking through the woods, this faint thump. And then, right afterwards, the water in the pool started to boil. And we listened again and again, and it kept happening. It was the sound of the volcano underneath the ground, heating up the groundwater around all of those underneath rocks beneath the pool to where the pressure would expand and then it would release that faint thump. And then the water would boil. That if we listen to creation, God is saying something to us. Creation is the whisper of God's love, which has given us and all of creation the gift of life. And it connects us to one another. And it calls us to the love of creation, to the love of our neighbor, that we love God's creation because we are all a part of it. Amen.